Welcome along, students of natural science. Just a brief little wrap-up of relativity theory to consolidate what I gave in my written notes a little while ago. And for this, you should read through the chapter from Albert Foley, Albert Foley, on relativity theory, as well as the excellent summary of David Foster, which we'll get to in a moment, and then the words of Albert Einstein himself. So just a quick summary of relativity theory itself and how it corresponds with the thought of Aristotle and St. Thomas Aquinas. So remember that for Einstein's theory, c, or the speed of light, is the speed limit of the universe. Nothing can move faster than light. So there's a limit to the acceleration and the well, not so much acceleration, but at least the velocity at the, something can reach via acceleration, change in speed. And that as we approach the speed of light, our time dilates and our space foreshortens or decreases. So in Einstein's theory, this corresponds with what he calls the four-dimensional space-time continuum, that really some of our time, some of our space becomes time. Just like when you spin a pencil around, some of its length becomes width. So the dimension of space gets transferred into time. And as you get close to the speed of light, time becomes ever closer to becoming infinite. And if something could reach the speed of light, in theory, its time would be infinite and its space would be zero. It sounds sort of like God, which is corresponds theologically with St. John saying God is light and dwells in a realm of light. There's something strange about that, or at least providential. And also, as we mentioned, as something approaches speed of light, or even if it gets faster at all, its mass increases. Remember that kinetic energy equals 1/2 mass times velocity squared. So as you pour energy into an object to increase its velocity, obviously, its velocity gets bigger, increases, but so does its mass. And as it approaches the speed of light, the amount of energy that gets transformed into mass becomes ever greater. And that led Einstein, as we said, to the theory of the nuclear bomb, that in theory you could access the nuclear energy at the heart of matter, and that energy would be of incredible force, according to the equation energy equals mass times c squared, that is the speed of light squared, which is trapped, if you want, within the nucleus of the atoms, is what holds the protons together. And that force goes all the way back to the Big Bang, and when atoms were first formed in the heat and energy of the Big Bang. So, finally, there is no absolute reference point in relativity theory. If you think back to Newton, his theory was there was absolute time and space, but that's not true. A second is not a second all over the universe, just as a meter is not a meter. As we saw, time and space are malleable according to the observer. So the only reference point really is the observer himself and what is called his frame of reference. So there's no such thing as an absolute now or absolute simultaneity. What is happening now on Earth is not the same as what's happening now on the Moon or the Sun or in Alpha Centauri. If we could look at Alpha Centauri 4 light-years away, what we would see would be what's happening 4 years ago. Just as what's happening on the Moon is happening 2 seconds ago, what's happening on the Sun is happening 7 minutes ago from our frame of reference. And vice versa with the sun, or the depths of the universe. Now, this should not be surprising. In the chapter I gave you from Leo Albert Foley on relativity, he allies this with scholastic and Aristotelian philosophy that the qualities of bodies come second. And what comes first in the universe are bodies themselves, that is, substances, what Aristotle called first substances. And that which surrounds a body is its place and all the other qualities, including its time, its position, all those things are relative to the observer. So this is more or less what St. Thomas said, just not quite in the same mathematical language. So Einstein is getting us back to the position of Thomas Aquinas. We flip ahead to the chapter from David Foster, 28, there, Space, Logos, and Creation. He gives you a very good summary of Einstein's relativity theory, both the general theory on page 162 there, and then flip over on the next page, which is in the chapter 1930s Cambridge Club, page 4 and 5 and onwards. You'll see those very good summaries of special relativity, general relativity, quantum theory from Max Planck, remember, that at the subatomic level, things exist in quanta, both packages of light as photons, as photons are quanta of light, and the same with orbits of electrons. Electrons only exist at certain quantum orbitals, which keeps them ordered and prevents them from collapsing right into the nucleus, unless they're under great, great pressure, like in the depths of neutron stars. And then finally, the principle of uncertainty from Werner Heisenberg. And the principle of uncertainty is that we can never measure the velocity and the position of an electron or any other subatomic particle with equal accuracy, like we can in theory with objects of the classical level. There's always something uncertain about subatomic particles. Now, some people argue that this uncertainty isn't really real, and it's only because we have difficulty measuring them. It's kind of what Einstein thought. But Heisenberg said no. This goes back to Aristotle's view that as we get smaller and smaller in the universe to the quantum level, things approach what we, in Aristotelian terms, would call pure potency or prime matter. And so electrons exist in a state of sort of potency. And that's why we can never, as soon as we measure where they are, we can't measure how fast they were moving. We measure accurately how fast they're moving, we can't really tell where they are. It's strange, but it's true. And even an electron orbital is simply a region where you're 90% likely to find the electron. But the electron orbital really extends outwards asymptotically as far as really the universe. There's a very small chance you could find any electron of any atom many, many miles away from the atom, even light years away. I mean, the probability reduces to minuscule levels, but it's still there. And ergo, all atoms are, in theory, the size of the universe. Very strange conclusions drawn. And then you can look over Albert Einstein's own take on E equals mc squared in terms of kinetic energy and potential energy, and that sort of that the we can access the potential energy within the nucleus as kinetic energy. And that's what powers both bombs and nuclear power plants. As we move atoms around a great velocity, this velocity can in turn be harnessed and captured either in a peaceful way, nuclear reactor, or as a bomb. Okay, anyway, those are some final thoughts about relativity theory. And I know it's very brief. That's under 10 minutes there, 8 minutes. I'll send this off to you. And obviously, and clearly, I'll be happy to answer any questions you have, clarify. And so keep in touch. God bless you all. Hope you're all safe and sound. And we'll continue in the next lecture with Mendel's genetic principles, DNA, which will lead us into evolution and Darwinian theory and what Catholics can and should believe about that. God bless you all. Keep each other in prayer. And we'll touch base soon.